All right, everyone, thank you for coming. Interesting turnout to this session. I wasn't really sure what to expect, whether there'd be lots of people and whether, you know, people thought, I really want to see, you know, what Microsoft have to offer in private cloud versus the others, or whether they would not really care, or whether they just kind of think that, well, Microsoft, you know, they've got a good stack, who else does? I'm not sure. So let's talk about it through anyway. So this session, comparing private clouds. Comparing private cloud capabilities, really should say. So my name's Michael Pascoe. I'm the managing director of a systems integrator called Olica. We're a specialized systems integrator. We're a gold Microsoft partner in management and virtualization in gold and desktop and silver and server. And we are experts in infrastructure management and virtualization. We focus just on two areas. That's all we do. Two areas, private cloud and Windows client. And this session today is, of course, about private cloud, but it's really part two of a two-part session. The part one was this morning, and it was comparing the core virtualization platform, so the hypervisor platform between Microsoft and the others. And this session is really comparing the rest of the stack, everything else you need to actually give you a private cloud. So we'll look at, you know, what it is that you need in terms of the services, and then we'll look at through the offerings from Microsoft and, well, the others. So who are the others? It's a tough one, isn't it? I don't know. Who's running Hyper-V at the moment? Yeah? Some? Good? Yeah? Who's running Zen Server? Yeah? Who's running something else? Okay. So whatever you're running must be the others, I guess. All right. So it's VMware, obviously, right? That's what we're comparing with. So let's talk about cloud. Let's talk about what a private cloud really is. Well, to be a private cloud, rather than just server virtualization, you need to be looking at your offerings, your resources as pooled resources. You can't be thinking about things as a disk or a single server or a single network interface card for the most part. If you're thinking like that, you probably don't have what is a private cloud. And you need self-service as well, right? Like, you need to be able to delegate out functions of creating elements of that cloud out to portals and for people that actually needing to consume those resources and create those services so that it's not all an IT function. And to do that, to delegate it out and to give self-service and make it all web-based and all pretty and nice, you really need to automate everything. So self-service means you need automation. And private clouds are also elastic, right? They need to scale and shrink. You need to be able to be dynamic with creating services on that private cloud infrastructure. If you can't be dynamic, if you can't kind of quickly stand up new services, quickly expand, and really importantly, quickly pull back resources that you're not using so that they can be reallocated and moved temporarily to something else, then you probably don't have a private cloud if you can't do those things. And look, nothing comes for free, right? Actually, Server 2012 Hyper-V does come for free. But like, you still have to host it somewhere. You've got to run it. You need networking and you need compute and you need support. So you're probably going to want to charge back for that. You're going to want to recoup some of that money. So to do that, you're going to have to measure what's being used and probably be able to charge it back, right? So those things, they're the things that define a cloud service rather than just virtualization. But they're kind of cloud in general, right? Like, what makes it a private cloud? Well, the difference with private cloud is that you have the control. You can pick the resources and the fabric and the hypervisors that are underlying there. You can decide how you're going to delegate out that self-service. You've got the control and you can customize it to how you want it. That's the difference between a public and private cloud, really. So they're the kind of attributes of cloud, but what are the layers that we need to build to achieve those attributes, right? We need these things. We need a hypervisor, obviously, and we need some management of that hypervisor. So let's look at what VMware have there. vSphere, they've got a free edition and they've got a paid edition. Do you think you can do all those other things above it that you need for private cloud on the free edition? No. So you need the paid edition, right? And then you need some VM management, vCenter. Pretty much everyone that's using VMware, vSphere, will be using vCenter. They're synonymous with each other. They go hand in hand. People know vCenter, but do you know vFabric Application Director? Heard of that? Who's heard of it? Yep, fair few. So you've heard of this concept of vApps, right? Like this idea that you want to create, a service, an application, and that it might need multiple machines to do that. And so VMware have a concept of vApps, and you can kind of define that for this application, it needs this box and one of these boxes, and you can control the order that they come up in, and you can assign IP addresses automatically, and you can assign host names and that kind of thing. But it's got its limitations. You know, when you're wanting to do really detailed application, like layering on top of that, when you're wanting to scale out certain nodes in that service tiers, it's got its limits. So vFabric Application Director comes in there, and it gives you really good blueprinting to define the service in more detail. But it is an extra product, right? It is an extra license that you need to buy if you want that better functionality than vApps alone. So monitoring, really important part of private cloud. It's fine to go and build it, but what about maintaining it and managing it and monitoring it? So VMware have been pretty busy in this area, a few acquisitions. The main product that you're really wanting to use from VMware for monitoring is vCenter Operations Management. Sweet. It comes in two editions. I think it's Advanced and Enterprise. And, you know, there's various things that you can and can't do. You're probably going to want to have the Enterprise Edition if you're wanting to also delve in and do some monitoring inside the application, inside the workload, I should say, inside the guest. And there's a couple other products in the mix here from VMware, vFabric Hyperic. It can be used to gather, statistics and usage information. But it can't really tell you... It can kind of tell you if there's a problem, but it can't really tell you why there's a problem. And so you need Application Performance Manager to help give you some insight into why there's an issue. And it does that for some applications, right? So not a bad collection of tools there. Unfortunately, it isn't just one tool, but it mostly covers what you need in that area. Now, automation. Like I said before, you really need automation. If you're wanting to be elastic, and if you want to provide self-service, it needs to be automated. So if you've got vCenter today, then you've got vCenter Orchestrator licensed. And it's a good automation tool, lets you really automate most of the components of your VMware infrastructure. Protection. Data recovery, it's all built in to vSphere. You've got it. It's great. It's there. For free. Well, might have bought vSphere, but it's there. Lots of VMware, right? Who's using data recovery? The built-in backup tool. We've got one, two, yep. So what else are people using? Are you using another, like a third-party add-on tool that integrates with VMware, maybe like Veeam or something like that? Pardon? Okay. A SAN backup tool or something like that, or something else, whatever you had for your physical environment. Who's still using whatever they had for their physical environment? Yeah. Okay. So it's built in, but yeah, we just don't find people using it that much. So that's that. Now, service management. VMware Service Manager. It's a reasonably new acquisition from VMware. And look, to be honest, we're still trying to work out exactly what VMware is doing with Service Manager and what the roadmap is for Service Manager. Yeah, end of life in 5 years. So that's what I had heard as well. I just didn't want to stand up here and definitely say that. End of life in 5 years. Interesting. So I'm not really sure what they're going to replace that with, because interestingly, they've actually had some other products that they've deprecated recently, and they've said use Service Manager instead. So, use it for a few years, then I guess hopefully use something else. And then self-service. And vCloud Director is their platform for that. And you know, that's an awesome name. I really love that name. vCloud Director. Yeah, like, that's awesome. And they're really getting the significance of self-service there and pushing that really hard. So that's great. All right, so what's Microsoft got? How's that stack up? Of course, we've got Hyper-V and Virtual Machine Manager. And now, I won't go into a lot of detail of all the Microsoft stuff. Funnily enough, at a Microsoft conference, I might actually spend, you know, the last 55 minutes of this session talking about the Microsoft stuff and the first five kind of going over the VMware in a bit more detail. But the monitoring side, Operations Manager, Orchestrator for automation, Data Protection Manager for backup and DR, Service Manager for service management, and a new product in the System Center suite in this release is App Controller for self-service. And we'll see some of these products shortly through some demos, and I'll talk through some of the features. I guess the thing about the Microsoft stack here is that with the exception really of App Controller, most of these products have been in the System Center family for at least two releases so far, and some of them have been in that family and you know, in the Microsoft stack for 2, 3, 4, 5 releases over, you know, like 15 years or something like that. So they're not a sudden acquisition in this space, and we'll talk more about how that's actually quite significant. So that was a product view, right? So let's talk about a licensing view. With the exception of Data Recovery and vCenter Orchestrator, and until recently, and I'll talk about the changes shortly, every one of those VMware products had to be purchased separately. All right? On the Microsoft side, since the System Center 2012 release and the licensing changes there, it's just nice and simple. Hyper-V, which you can either use the free edition and then pay for your Windows workloads that you're running on it, or instead you can pay for Windows on the host, and then that covers you for your Windows workloads. So you got the choice. And System Center. And System Center comes in two SKUs, Enterprise and, or is it Standard? Sorry. Standard and Data Center Edition, right? And so Standard, you get the two, you buy it per host, right? And then you can run the System Center stack on the host and two guests, or Data Center Edition, and you can run the System Center stack on the host and unlimited guests. So nice and simple. Now, VMware thought, hey, this is actually pretty good. We really do want to simplify this. It makes sense. So they created Cloud Suite. Again, pretty cool name. So the thing here is, though, they didn't quite just go, look, it's just nice and simple. You get all the products. They've actually created three SKUs of that. Standard, Advanced, and Enterprise. And, you know, they've pre-selected the bits that you get within each of those SKUs. And it maps vaguely like that. It's a bit hard to completely map out in those functions, but it's approximately like that. Those shaded ones, you get some of the capability in that area, and then as you step up to those higher SKUs, you get the all of the features, right? Okay, so I was preparing for this session, and I was kind of thinking, you know, what is cloud? What is really making, like, what we're implementing here cloud and not just virtualization? And it really is about all those stacks up, right? So it's not just the hypervisor and the VM management. Yep, you need them. You really do need most of that to be virtual for cloud to work, but it's that stack on top. And then I was thinking, so this is about comparing Microsoft's capabilities in this area to the others. Hang on. Microsoft has had products in this area for years and years and years. You are probably already mostly using those products in your physical environments, and probably in your VMware virtualized environments. But I just don't think that VMware has a name for being in that Windows management space, right? So monitoring. Like, who's using Ops Manager in their environment already? Yep, fair bit. On both physical and on your virtual machines? Put your hands up if you're using Ops Manager on VMware virtual machines. Yep, some? It's good. And, you know, the same kinds of things start to apply to the other layers in the stack. And, look, self-service and the service management, definitely an area that's kind of newer to Microsoft as well. Not as much experience there, not as much history in those particular products. Service Manager, okay, it is the third release, I think, at the moment, but it really is the first one with real bones and really awesome. And App Controller, obviously, the first release. So they're a little bit new, pushing right up into that top layer of the stack. But in that purple layer, in that middle layer, they're very established and already quite a lot of penetration out there in customers. So, yeah, I think it's just something to kind of bear in mind when you're thinking about choosing what infrastructure you're going to be using, what products you're using for a private cloud, and think, well, what really is private cloud? And you know, is VMware known in that space for having a good integrated set of products? And how do they integrate with managing Windows workloads? All right, so as we kind of walk through this comparison, I'll focus it around these four key areas. The application, cross-platform heterogeneous management, and then we'll look at Foundation for the Future. That's really all about Hyper-V. And then finally, a little bit about cloud on your terms, a few other ways to think about where you might be wanting to run your cloud in the future. So if we talk about the application, it's all about the app. You've heard that term probably a few times. What's it really mean? Like, the app is the workload you're running. That's why you're running a private cloud. That's why you have it. It's about that service. It's about that app. And so to run that app properly, you need to think about deploying it, delivering it in the first place, maintaining and managing it and monitoring it ongoing, and protecting it. So when it comes to delivering the application, I think what I'd like to do is show you a bit of a demo on the Microsoft stack. So in here we've got VMware. Oh, sorry, we don't have VMware, we've got VMM. That could get confusing. So this is VMM, right? And I'm logged in here as a IT administrator, the infrastructure administrator. And I just wanted to show you this template. It's called a VM template, right? So you can create a VM template that really is a predefined hardware profile, virtual hardware profile. And it's linked to a VHD, which is really kind of your Windows Server image. And you can set some other parameters and configurations here. And the point with this is, yeah, VMware's got this as well, right? Obviously. And you can go and create virtual machines from one of these templates. And if you wanted to, you could go and configure it with all these application layers. But really our recommendation is try to keep those VM templates quite standard. Use them actually as your standard image, really, for as many Windows workloads as you can, rather than customizing them a lot. And, whoops, wrong button here. The reason we say don't go and customize VM templates very much is because in VMM 2012, there's a new type of template called a service template. And in here, we can define much more complicated relationships between virtual machines that define that service. So rather than just saying, here's one VM, and this is a template for it, we can say, here's a whole set of VMs. And so we can use those VM templates as a base to kind of drag across and create a new machine in our service template so that we can ensure that we're starting from a standardized baseline. But then we can come and customize that server that we've added to our service. And we can think about things like, obviously, changing the virtual hardware in that instance of the machine, or we can come and change the OS configuration, really quickly just say for this role, this this layer in our service, we need a web server, for example, or we can come and add applications in. And those applications can be traditional applications that are installed, or they could be server app vapps. And so we can customize this. And in this example, what we've done is we've said for this app, demo app, we've got a SQL tier, and we've got an IIS app tier. And for certain tiers, we can even say, you know what? This particular tier of the application, it can be scaled out. So in this case, we've said, you know, there's a minimum and a maximum instance count on how far we can scale out, and also a default. So we've set this to 2. And we can publish these service templates to business application owners. And so I've logged in here as Emily. Emily has got that service template published to her, and she is actually allowed to consume some resources on 2 clouds, a DevTest cloud and a prod cloud. And these don't need to be DevTest or prod. You can name them to suit your designs. And so at the moment, she's allowed 25 virtual machines, and she hasn't deployed any. So let's go and deploy some. We click her cloud that we want to deploy to, and we click deploy. And then she's able to select the service that she wants to deploy. She's only been assigned one at the moment. And then you can see here that this service includes a SQL tier, and it includes an app tier. And in this case, there's 2 default instances of that app tier, and we just hit deploy. And then if we just jump down into jobs, we can see that that job has started, it'll change name shortly, and that it's in progress. And that'll probably take about 15 or 20 minutes or so, so we'll come back to that towards the end. So just in that really quick little demo in Virtual Machine Manager, where we're seeing the templates of the the templates of the VM and the templates of the service, and in App Controller, we've seen quite a few things, right? You can standardize, you can dynamically install Windows roles and features really easy. You just open the list, you tick the Windows roles and features that you want, and then they're going to be there for that service tier. The service template, of course, is really the blueprint of adding everything that's needed for that application together. And then we can use that service template to allow the user to deploy into clouds, into whichever cloud that they want to or that they've been assigned the rights to. And when they're deploying into those clouds, we can just define by policy how much resource they can consume in those clouds. So we gave her the rights, or we could see that she had the rights for 25 VMs, and there was all other metrics on different kinds of resources as well. And so she couldn't go and use more than she should have been allowed to. So how does this area stack up to VMware? I think it's probably best if we just talk about that granular roles and features addition first. Look, you know, where I could just go and tick the Windows roles and I could add them in. VMware doesn't have a GUI for that, so you can't just go and open it up and tick the boxes. But of course, you can use PowerShell. So you could automate that in a script and say, install these roles via PowerShell, and then get the process from VMware to run those PowerShell scripts and it will install those roles. But it's not there, nice and tick. They're requesting the private cloud resources. You know, we looked at self-service. This was when Emily had already been assigned resources in the cloud and already assigned the rights to deploy that particular application. But what about if she was trying to get that assigned to her in the first place? So Microsoft's story there is that you use Service Manager, and then they can just use a web-based self-service portal for that to go and actually request those resources in the first place. VMware, really the story there is Service Manager as well, but at the moment it's kind of a bit unproven whether that will really work for that and how well it'll be integrated into the rest of the stack there. And then across heterogeneous clouds, so what we didn't show in that demo, but what you can do with App Controller is and VM VMM in general is use service templates to deploy services both onto Hyper-V-based clouds, but also onto other hypervisor-based clouds. So onto VMware, vSphere, or onto Zen Server, and even some of the infrastructure components up to Azure. With VMware, it's awesome if you're just wanting to deploy to VMware-based clouds. Okay, so that's all about the application from a deployment point of view. What about from a maintaining and management point of view? And for this, I'm going to show you this demo here. Now, maintaining, managing, and monitoring an app. For this area, there's just so much I could have shown you. You know, I was thinking about it, and I was like, I could show you config manager, like central administration, role-based central administration, like using it to deploy applications or patches to servers, or we could use it to gather inventory and take that back to the central place and then even feed that into our service manager CMDB, or I could use Ops Manager to, you know, integrate with the applications that were running on those service workloads so we could get deep application insight out of Exchange and SQL and lots of third-party applications. Or we could use VMM and Ops Manager integration so that, you know, VMM could tell Ops Manager all about the guest and host relationship, and Ops Manager could tell VMM about if there's any issues, if it's performing okay, and whether it should initiate any kind of failover or scale out. And that's all to do with managing and maintaining and operating the environment, right? But you've seen all that before. None of that is new. You know, some of that, the VMM and Ops Manager integration, I presented at TechEd 3 years ago. So you've seen it. What I thought maybe you haven't seen is some integration between Ops Manager and your custom code that you might be developing. So you know, or you expect by now, that Ops Manager is going to really tell you what's going on with the Microsoft products. But can Ops Manager really tell you what's going on and help you solve issues with code that you've developed, custom applications for your environment? So this demo I'll show you here, look, it's actually, it might look real, but it's fake. I'm not really running this. It's actually what's called a click-through, and I've grabbed it from what's called Private Cloud Immersion Experience. And it's a program that Microsoft run, Program Cloud Immersion, or that they have available for partners to run customers through a whole experience and immersion into a private cloud world using the Microsoft stack. So they've got lots of videos and hands-on labs and click-through demos that really get you in and help you understand the whole suite together. It starts with a couple of hours, firstly with like your IT managers or CIO to understand the real business value, and then it goes into a few more hours with the IT managers and the operations managers to understand like the operational benefits, and then it can continue on for the rest of the day if you like, and you can get really hands-on and see every single bid and play and build. So if you haven't quite got enough out of TechEd around private cloud, then I really encourage you to go back and talk to your Microsoft reps about PCI, Private Cloud Immersion. And of course, Olika is quite happy to run through one of those with you at Microsoft. So this I've lifted from there, okay? But this demo here, we've got an application running, and we can see from this first tick box that it looks like in some way everything's healthy. It's a web-based app, and it's up, and it's working. So if you were just monitoring that the application was up, then your monitoring system would say everything's good. You might be thinking, oh, no, I'm a bit smarter than that. I'm actually doing, you know, HTTP packets, and I'm seeing that, you know, it's responding. And so if you're not really taking into account how quickly it's responding, then you might miss that there's a problem. And that's what this line here indicates, that it's actually, even though it is up, we've got an SLA target set of 9, and it's actually taking 16 seconds or milliseconds to respond. So there's definitely some kind of problem. And if we went to the web interface of it, and we hit refresh here, we can see that even though it is working, it's actually quite slow. So there's definitely a problem, and let's drill down and try to see what's going on. So if we go to the application diagnostics page here, it's a web interface page, which is a view into some of the information from Ops Manager, and we can drill down here and see that this particular service has got a long, it's taking a long time. Click on key metrics, our eyes drawn down to this red X, that's probably bad. Expand this, see a little bit of more detail. And there we go, we've drilled right down and we've seen that this is the, here we go, move that down there. This here is the exact query that was running from the code that you guys in-house developed that's actually causing a timeout. And so you call up your dev guys and you say, hey, I've got a problem with this code. And they say, hey, there's no problem with the code. You're running it on virtual infrastructure. That's your problem. And you go, no. I've got all the records here. I've got the information. And they say, all right, email it through. And you go, no, actually, I'll do better. I can send it straight through into your Visual Studio tools. So it just automatically connects up. And they're the tools that the developers are using to develop it and the issues and the information that they need to see the problem and then hopefully resolve the problem right there. All right. So these are examples of the stack, the Microsoft stack, multiple products. You know, I talked about Config Manager and Ops Manager and VMM and the integration between them all. These are examples of really how Microsoft Stack can really help you maintain and manage and reduce the time resolution of issues and ultimately drive the cost of running your private cloud down. So with that, we saw and we've spoken about with those elements, you know, centralized management. Also, it can extend beyond the private cloud, right? Like, if you've got physical workloads that you still need there, like, don't exclude them from your private cloud. Include them. Manage them with all your other tools in all the same way that you're doing the virtual machines. There's lots of integration. There's lots of automation between the stack. There's lots of deep application insight between, like, the operations management and monitoring and the apps that are actually running on it. And we saw there the example of connecting the operations to development team, the DevOps connection. So how's VMware stack up in this area? Look, I think this is probably their weakest area. I think this area is something that Microsoft has been doing for a long time, this integration between all those different areas of running a Windows environment. So centralized patching and maintenance, yep, you can do that on your VMware hosts, and you can patch and upgrade your VM tools inside the guest. But if you actually want to patch the guest itself, then you can do that. You can upgrade and purchase another product, vCenter Operations Manager Advanced Enterprise Suite, and then you can do patching of Windows with the VMware tool if you want to. If you don't purchase that extra tool, then you could use another third-party tool, or you could use WSUS from Microsoft. But it's not got the same kind of control as Config Manager does for patching. The integrated service manager, look, Microsoft really have spent a lot of effort in making those applications in the System Center suite really talk to each other. And VMware have gathered their tools up, and they've got a pretty comprehensive suite of applications for this area, but it's kind of unproven at the moment about whether they really managed to integrate them well or not. So it's just a question mark and something that you'll want to consider. The heterogeneous automation, there's automation built into lots of the VMware stuff, and if you're automating the VMware stuff, then it's really good. But with the exception of a little bit of Cisco automation, you know, there's really no other automation capabilities in vCenter Orchestrator at the moment. All right, so the third area of applications, we spoke about delivering the apps and we spoke about maintaining and managing them. What about protecting them? So I don't have a demo here, but really Microsoft's solution in this area is DPM, Data Protection Manager. And the good thing about DPM, and I think really its differentiation in the market, is that it's got this understanding of the workloads it's protecting, the applications. So it's not just doing VM-based backup and snapshotting the VM and saying, right, that's that VM at that point in time. It does also have a hook into the applications, and it understands that maybe some of those apps need particular transaction replays or rollbacks and those kinds of things when you go to restore. And it's not just for virtual machines, it could be used for physical as well. And look, in general terms, it's not just a Microsoft products either. It is extensible. You can add into it with third parties. And anything that's using VSS, volume shadow copy, then it can be, you can kind of add that extra granular workload protection through that as well. So it's pretty good. Actually, back up to tape. Who's backing up to tape still? Lots? Fair few? Yeah, about half? So it has the ability to back up to tape. With the data recovery in VMware, it can't back up to tape. It just takes a snapshot of the virtual machines, and you need something else to offload that to tape if you were still wanting to back up to tape. Now, with DPM, right, it's not really by itself a true data, a true disaster recovery tool, but you can use it for a low-cost disaster recovery. So you can do DPM to DPM for DR. So you can use DPM to back up your workloads in one site, and then you can use DPM in another site to back up the DPM server and ship all of that across, and then you can use that to actually, when you need to invoke DR, to do a restore. Now, it's not perfect. If you're wanting to use that copy of DPM to do your restore for DR, well, you've kind of got to go through every workload in DPM and say, yes, I want to recover this one, and yes, I want to recover this one. So, you know, an alternate now with the mix is the Hyper-V replica, where you might actually be thinking about replicating your most important workloads so that they're already available on your DR site. Just be aware there is, the best RPO you can get there is 5 minutes. But you could use that for those workloads and then use DPM to kind of come along and restore your less critical workloads after. If you wanted to get inventive, you can probably add some service manager-based workflow that you can kick off. It can talk to Orchestrator, and then Orchestrator can get into DPM and automate all the recovery, you know, talking to Virtual Machine Manager and everything as well. And I think it's a space that we'll see a lot of integration from Microsoft between Hyper-V Replica and DPM, VMM and Orchestrator. Lots of potential there for Microsoft to really improve that. But as it is, it still gives you some reasonable options. So how's it compare with VMware? Look, the VMware side says all no's. I don't know if that quite represents the real story there, actually. But I think the point with this slide is that DPM's application aware. It's not just the virtual machine aware. And it's got the physical as well as the virtual. And it does have tape backup if you need it. And then that last one, the low-cost disaster recovery. Look, VMware's got no. Now, the reason is it doesn't quite, what they offer, SRS, Site Recovery Manager, SRM, sorry, doesn't quite fit into that low-cost disaster recovery bracket, but they definitely do have an offering there around disaster recovery. And it's not bad. I was in the session earlier this morning with Reid where he was comparing the virtualization platform, and there was a couple of comments from some customers that were using it, and they were talking about some of the issues that they had around the speed to actually use it, and it didn't have the application aware components. So it's not perfect either. Some consideration there. I actually think neither vendors have totally nailed it in that area yet. All right, so that was all about the application, right? So the next area that we were going to talk about right from the beginning was cross-platform from the middle up, heterogeneous management. Now, I just got a tiny little bit of a demo here. Actually, what have I got this? Oh, yeah, look. What are we talking about when we're saying cross-platform, heterogeneous management? The fact is, in your environment, you've got all this stuff. You've got the fabric, the hypervisor and virtualization layer, you've got the OS, you've got to think about management on top of that, there's application frameworks. And it's not all Microsoft stuff, and it's not all VMware stuff. You've got a mix of all these different vendors in your environment, all this different kit, different software, and as much as you'd like to consolidate it, you still can't get it all down to one vendor, right? So you really need this stuff to work together. If you're trying to deliver a private cloud service, and if portions of that service need some of the stuff from other vendors, then you need to integrate with that and you need to automate it and you need to make that part of that private cloud. If you can't make that stuff part of your private cloud, but that stuff's needed to provide the services that are running on the private cloud, then how are you going to do, how are you going to get private cloud? And so heterogeneous management is actually really important. And Microsoft, I've spoken a little bit about this already, but just want to point out a few little things in here about the Microsoft stack. So, close that one. I'm back in VMM, and I'm just going to go into Fabric. Now, of course, you probably already have heard this, but I think if you just see it here, it's a little bit more real. VMM doesn't just manage Hyper-V. It can manage and control VMware, vSphere, and Zen Server. So all it's a matter of doing is coming into VMM, adding resource, the VMware vCenter server, and you stick in the name of the server here, and then you set up an account that has rights to it, and you go through the wizard there to connect. And it's the same kind of thing when you're trying to add the Zen server. So VMM can manage multiple hypervisors. So first of all, the Microsoft Private Cloud can run on a number of vendors' virtualization stack. The next thing to, I guess, just consider with management of a lot of different vendors' products is Ops Manager. Ops Manager has, here's a page here that has the packs for it, right? The management packs. And there's 492 here. And if you start to just kind of browse through this list, you see so many third-party vendor names and product names and different systems and software and hardware that it integrates with. And so this is really important. This is a really important part of the equation of private cloud. If you can't monitor and understand the health of components that are needed to provide a service, then how can you be sure that you're providing that service okay? And then not just understand the health of it. And look, obviously, the health, knowing the health is good. Getting insight in how to fix it is even better. And that's really what Ops Manager is all about. But it's not just understanding the monitoring and the health of it, but it's also being able to orchestrate it, to automate it. So in System Center Orchestrator, we can add integration packs as well for third-party products. So we can even add integration packs for things like VMware so that we can develop our custom workflows and automation to perform tasks on those VMware servers. Say that we've got, you know, a particular Linux VM running on a VMware server that we need to clone for some reason. We can build that into our workflow and completely automate that. Things like if our hardware layers that we're running on top of, HP ILO, for example, we can build commands into this orchestration where we're controlling that hardware as well. And so when we're thinking about that private cloud layer, it isn't just about virtualization to provide a Windows stack. There's so many other elements that you need to kind of get right. So definitely a really important area, and I think an area that Microsoft has just got so much experience and third-party integration already with. Yeah, so we saw there the multiple hypervisor management from Microsoft. You can only manage the VMware hypervisors in vCenter or with any of the other tools from VMware. There's a pretty limited third-party integration. There is third-party integration in a sense that where people are extending vCenter with third-party apps, adding into it, but we're not seeing vCenter being able to go and do much in the third-party stuff. It's more the other way around. All right, so we've spoken about the app, We spoke about delivering it, managing and maintaining it, and protecting it. We've spoken about cross-platform. And the third pillar of comparison, I guess, is about the future, the foundation for the future. So these next two slides, the point of these are to say Hyper-V is awesome. So do you believe me? Like, you've probably heard it a lot. You've probably seen a lot of other sessions. It has been designed as a cloud OS server. 2012 has been designed as a cloud OS from the ground up, from the cloud up. And it really is a great hypervisor. It scales to really big. It drives the cost of both hardware and implementation of it in the first place down, but also through simplicity and flexibility, it drives the cost of maintaining and managing it down. And it's got all the other features that you need in that virtualization layer to deliver a real private cloud on top. If you want to know more about comparing the virtualization layer between Microsoft and VMware, then available online will be the sessions from this morning. I think it's VIR 311. We'll check that at the end. All right, so the last area of comparison between Microsoft and VMware private clouds is, where are you running these? How much choice do you have in that? So with Microsoft, you can run a Microsoft private cloud on your site, right? And you can connect that to another Microsoft-based private cloud somewhere else. It might be on a hosted provider or another one of your data centers. And you can manage it all as one using System Center, the engine room, really. And, you know, both sides of that Microsoft private cloud, they don't have to be running Microsoft hypervisors necessarily. So if you're using a hosting provider who at the moment doesn't use Hyper-V as that, but you have a relationship and existing contracts, then you can still run the Microsoft private cloud stack on top of their VMware virtualization platform, if you like. And it gives you the flexibility of changing that in the future. And not only changing between, you know, private cloud and private hosting, but also some of the public hosting as well. So through System Center and through App Controller, you can actually, and Virtual Machine Manager, you can extend and push out some of those workloads out onto Azure. Infrastructure as a service hosted out on Azure as well. So it gives you choice and flexibility, not just on where you run it, but on what kind of platform you run it on. Now, VMware give you some choice as well. You can run a vCloud in one data center or in one location, and you can run a vCloud hosted by somebody else as well. And you can connect them up. At the moment, there really isn't a connection into a more public cloud infrastructure. I'm sure it will come. But the thing about the vCloud is that it has to be a VMware-based hypervisor that you're connecting it to. It has to be. So it's just, I suppose, potentially a little bit constraining. It might not be such an issue right now because most of the market providing those functions are, or those data centers are running on vSphere. But as the market changes, I suppose it might just potentially limit your options. Okay, so we've spoken about all the things that you need for private cloud and all the layers of functionality to provide that. But what about the cost? That's pretty important, right? So to try to compare the cost, because there's so many ways you can slice and dice this, we've just made up a number here, 500 virtual machines, and we're assuming a 15-to-1 host ratio. So that means that we've got 34 hosts, and we'll make an assumption of 2 CPU hosts with 16 cores, which means that we need 68 CPUs. That's what we need to license for. Now, I've made the assumption as well that the Windows Server licensing itself is out of this equation. Whether it's running on VMware or it's running on Hyper-V or it's based with the vCloud stack or the System Center stack, you still need your Windows licenses if they're Windows workloads. So we've kept that out of the equation. But if you do need to buy those servers and you want to go and build that into the cost yourself, it's 68 CPUs, a Windows Server data center is what you'd go and buy, right? And we've also made an assumption here that what we're trying to achieve is comprehensive management. I mean, you can't really say that you've got a cloud if you don't have comprehensive management. So with those assumptions in place, let's look at the costs for Microsoft. So 68 times 0 is 0. And 68 CPUs times System Center 2012 Data Center Edition is about $122,000 list price US. Okay? So remember that number, $122,000. That's what it will cost you to run a 500 machine workload, private cloud, on the System Center and Microsoft base stack, right? $122,000. And that provides complete infrastructure management. Okay, so VMware, let's compare that. Okay, so 68 CPUs, a vSphere Enterprise Plus edition, because that's really what you need to add all the management layers on top of that, is $237,000 odd. And then you add on vCenter, which is about $5,000. And then vCenter Operations Management Enterprise version. There's actually Enterprise Plus version as well, I think, but we couldn't get list pricing. So it's $97,000 on top of that for operations management. And if you want to do deeper application insight, you need the APM. And if you want to do those, the service template equivalent, if you want to do the blueprinting of those service templates so that you can deploy them through, vCloud Director, $125,000 for that. And then vCloud Director itself. And I'm not 100% sure if that's still charged or not, actually, that last one. So that may be now included. And look, whilst we've based it on those CPU cores the physical CPU sockets that we've defined before, some of these costs, the way that they're licensed, are actually per VM, not per core or socket. So if you increase your VM density, then these costs could actually go up a bit more as well. Where with the Microsoft side, you can put more VMs on, as long as the hardware will run it, then there'll be no more cost. So that adds up to $720,000, excluding SNS, right? So $720,000. The number before was, $122,000. Okay. So now, you're probably going, yeah. But what about like the suite that they announced like 2 weeks ago to make it all simpler and better and nicer and, and yep. That's true. That suite exists. So let's look at the cost with the suite, right? The vCloud suite. Standard, advanced, and enterprise. So enterprise is really what we need here to actually get all the capability, a more equivalent capability for comparison. But even if we go down and we say, oh, look, maybe we don't actually need that. We don't actually need that thing. We don't really need that component. We bring it down to the standard suite. Well, it's still $339. So I'm sorry that I made you sit through all the rest to kind of get to this point. And if I was, meeting with a CIO or IT manager and to talk about this stuff, I think I'd start with the pricing, because I'd be a bit worried if I kind of made them sit through all of that, that then they'd punch me in the face when they find out the pricing and say, why'd you make me sit through all that, kind of wondering what the punchline here is. So, I think it's something to bear in mind, right? So you're looking at the costs there, and you also have to kind of compare the capability in that stack and also the history from both of the vendors around all of those layers that are needed in the stack above the hypervisor. All right, so we're nearly done. I think it's just a good idea if we just come back over to this demo that we kicked off before. So remember that we're logged on as Emily onto this app controller, and we'd kicked off a job to deploy a service into a private cloud. So the job is finished, and let's just move up the stack here. If we have a look at virtual machines, we can see that there's now three virtual machines that she has, a SQL server and two application servers, but she probably doesn't really give about the virtual machines. So, she's a business application owner. She's probably more interested in about what service that provides. So she can see that service is there and that it's running well. And then if we move up, we can see the clouds that she has access to, and now this prod cloud, we can see that she's now consumed 3 resources out of her 22 virtual machines there, and you know, some processors and you know, not a lot of storage there, but some and some memory. So she gets a feel about how much capacity she's still allowed to go and put into those private clouds. So that's from the business application owner's point of view, right? The person we've delegated that self-service to. Let's just see it from the IT administrator's point of view as well. So if we come into VMs and services and we go to prod cloud, we get a snapshot of that production cloud. If we want to see it from a VM basis, we can click to the VM's view here and we can see those 3 machines running in the prod cloud and that they're actually on these particular hosts. So we can see even that was spread out between the hosts in the prod cloud and the clusters behind it. And then we can even move up the view here even a little bit more and we can look at services. So in the prod cloud, there's that demo app service that's running, and we can expand that and see that the demo app actually has 2 service tiers. It's got the app tier and the SQL tier. And if we expand them down, we see the actual boxes that are running behind it as well. So pretty comprehensive, pretty simple to kind of understand and pretty integrated. So really, that brings us to the end of my session. I think it's worth a bit of a recap here. It's all about the app. It really is about the app. It's about that service that we're running on top of that cloud infrastructure. So you need to think about how you're deploying it originally, what kind of self-service you need there, how you're managing, you know, the blueprints behind it, those service templates. You need to think about how you'll do ongoing maintenance, management, and monitoring of the application. And then also how you'll back up the application or protect that application and the workload. Cross-platform is very important because you don't only run Microsoft stuff and you don't only run VMware stuff. You have a mix and it's all needed to be integrated and orchestrated and automated and controlled in order to provide a real private cloud. And then you need to just ask yourself and challenge yourself, what is the best foundation? What is the best platform for my private cloud for the future? What is the one that will give me the most flexibility, the lowest operating costs, and the highest performance into the future? It's not about looking at the past here. It's about looking at the future of these products. And lastly, cloud on your terms. Where do you want to be running your cloud? Do you want to be connecting it up and using some service providers and data center providers or even public cloud infrastructure? And then if the answer is yes there, what kinds of decisions will that have and what impact will that have on your choice about what cloud stack that you implement in your environment? All right, so there's a few related sessions coming up tomorrow and the next day. And look, I'd like to thank you all for coming. You can kind of get in contact with me afterwards, tweet at Olika Tech. So look, thank you very much, and I'll open up to a few questions. Question there. Right, so the comment... As long as you have all your developers under an MSDN, if they're developing under a Windows environment, there is no cost for that server software infrastructure, software... Yeah, okay, so the comment here was that the comparison on cost wasn't really fair because VMware actually charge full price for non-production environments. So actually, if you're wanting to do a real comparison, we should have included another set of virtual machines and infrastructure that are actually used for development, which probably would have had a zero cost from the Microsoft angle because it would have all been covered under MSDN licensing, but it would have actually had a charge on the VMware side. I thought you were going to ask a question about pricing in the opposite way then, so that was interesting. Any other questions? All right. Nearly the end of the day. How about we go and have an early mark? Oh, yeah, one question up there. Sorry. Yeah, so VMM 5 support has been announced in the System Center SP1, and the beta actually was just released 2 days ago, and support for that is in the beta. And Microsoft is still just working out exactly what's needed for 5.1 support. So we haven't seen any announcements from Microsoft on the 5.1 support, but 5.0 support definitely in SP1. All right, thank you.